We're watching the dire situation in Mariupol, where there are reports that some civilians have been able to evacuate today. Meanwhile, Ukrainian forces continue their counteroffensive near the northern city of Kharkiv. They're trying to interrupt Russia's supply lines into the eastern part of Ukraine. Still, Russian shelling continues to target Kharkiv. Much of the city is now uninhabitable, and residents are struggling with shortages of electricity, shelter, and food. News analyst Maria Avdyeva joins us from Kharkiv, where she lives. And Maria, please start by describing what's happening there today.
The shelling in the city is not as intense as it used to be. It's probably because Ukrainian troops effectively push back the Russian troops from the borderline of the city, and it's harder for Russians to use the artillery. But still, the shelling happens, and residents are advised to stay indoors as much as they can. The shelling is indiscriminate, and several days ago, the central area was again hit by Russian Grad rockets. And Staltivka, which is the largest residential area, not only in Kharkiv, but in Ukraine, where before the war, around 400,000 people were living. And now it is devastated, destroyed, and still under constant shelling because it is very close to the Russian troops, probably 15, 20 kilometers, which is still very close.
Yeah. You were actually caught in one of these bombings last week, right? You were on CNN and you were being treated for your wounds. What happened?
CNN did a great piece on covering the work of the first responders in Kharkiv, and they risk their lives every day, and sometimes they don't have necessary equipment very often. So we followed one of the team when they received a call in this big residential area. And when we arrived there, the shelling happened again, and it is what is called double tap attack. Russian troops shell the area, then wait for some time. At the time when the emergency services and the firefighters arrive, they shell the area again. And we had only like 1-2 minutes to get inside the building. And when we get inside, at this same moment, another shelling happened and several rockets hit the building where we were hiding under the staircase. And while we were running there, there was the broken glass everywhere because of the previous shelling. So when we were running, I slipped on this broken glass and cut both of my hands because it just fell down on this broken glass. But there was this doctor from the ambulance who helped me, and they managed to carry out the wounded man. He had a severe wound, but he is alive, and the ambulance carried him to the hospital.
So looking at the war more broadly outside Kharkiv, there are still about 200 people sheltering in a steel plant in Mariupol, the only holdouts preventing a total Russian takeover there. What kind of updates do we have about the people in Mariupol?
Good news is that the evacuation continues. We have this hope that more civilians will be evacuated, but the defenders of Mariupol are still in Azovstal fighting with Russian troops who managed to get into the plant. So they don't have control over the whole territory, but they are very close, and they put all the might of the Russian army just to crush these defenders of Mariupol. And the feeling is very hard for me because the Russian Victory Day is coming and they will celebrate it on the 9th of May. And top Russian propagandist Vladimir Solovyov has been already in Mariupol taking pictures there. And that means that Russian propaganda media will try to use this Mariupol as some kind of victory to show to the people in Russia, which means that they will try to crush the defenders there to show something, to have some kind of parade probably even in Mariupol.
You've also been tweeting about Russian forces confiscating massive amounts of grain from farmers in occupied territories like Kherson, taking crops from Ukrainian farmers in Krasnoyarsk. Why is that significant?
This is the same tactics that Soviet government used to create the famine, the Holodomor in Ukraine in 1930s, when they will confiscate all food that is left and people will hunger to death. And this is something awful and unbelievable happening now, but it is what Russia does now. And it is more terrifying that they have a special legal procedure for that adopted in Krasnoyarsk, Siberia. So what they say basically is that they now admit and rule for the Russian military in the occupied territories to steal, confiscate all kinds of food, grains and vegetables to deliver it to Russia. And they don't only do this with the food, but also with the remaining vehicles and with the agriculture machinery that was used by Ukrainian farmers. And whenever Russian troops come, we will see after them the devastation and the destroyment they bring to the territory of Ukraine.
That's Ukrainian news analyst Maria Avdyeva in Kharkiv talking about the latest there and also injuries she sustained in a recent bombing. Maria, thank you so much. And of course, stay as safe as you can.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.